Okay, so continuing on in Akdamat Yitzchayim over here. So on page Dalad, yes, the bottom paragraph, bottom left on page Dalad. Okay, so again, till now, Rechaim Vital has definitely made the argument based on Zohar Kadosh that Pnimus HaTorah is definitely an important, essential lima, that's for sure. But now, he has to make, you know, you have to balance things. Amnam. Al Yomer Adam, a person shouldn't say, if that's how great Chachmas Hakabbalah is, that it's, you know, it's the Pnimis versus Chitzonius, it's Eitzachayim versus Eitzadas Toivara, like everything we've been talking about. So it's the best thing. So El Chali, the Esek B'Chachmas Hakabbalah, Likaidim Shiasek Mishnah V'Talmud. So then I'll learn Kabbalah before I'm Isaac in Mishnah and Talmud and Igla. So the indication is that the person is saying that his plan is to learn Mishnah and Talmud. He's not Chas V'Shalom rejecting that, but he's just saying that in order, the order of things, I'll do the Ikar first, and then I'll go to the Tafel. Kikvar Omer Chazal. So the person shouldn't say that. Kikvar Omer Chazal, because Chazal already say Lo Yikonis Adam LePardes. It's really, I don't know if it's from Chazal. The Rambam definitely writes it, beginning of Hilchos Deis, Hilchos Yisod HaTorah. I just don't know if he's, I think it's his own Lashon, but he's Rabbi Sein also. Kvarim Rabbi Sein Uzal, La'ikonis adun lepardes elam kein mole kreise basa v'yayin, that a person shouldn't go into the orchard, which means Pnimis HaTorah, unless the person's belly is full with meat and wine, which is a reference to Nigla. So that's not the approach. The approach is Mishnah and Talmud first, and then Kabbalah. Because the other way, which is Kabbalah first, that's like a neshama without a body. Where it doesn't poil anything. It's preich ba'aver unless it's mekusha to a guf. And a body that's complete. The mitzvah HaTorah, shall I say, what does it say with 613? So that's the approach. It needs it's like Hashem created Adam, right? First Hashem created the Golem of the human being, and then V'yipach Bap of Nishmas Chaim. So that's the model as well. The Chaim Behepach, and the same thing is the opposite. B'yaisi Isaac b'chachmas ha-mishnu b'talmud b'lvad, v'einin Isaac chelik b'limudai al-saydis ha-tar v'sisra. So if a person is Isaac in Nigla and doesn't give any chelik of their learning to Sisri Torah, so Hakiri is a daima l'guf hayoshe b'choshech, built in Nishmas Adam, ner Hashem mirbasech. It's like a body without a neshama illuminating it. So that's also no good. Baifin shaguf yavesh, the body is dry. Built yishayiv, the next page, built yishayiv v'makar chayim, without drawing any life force. So even before, I guess one can say what he's saying is that even before a person, what's the proper derech? So he's saying the proper derech is first, like the Rama says, to fill your belly with basar v'yayin, to be Isaac and Niglas HaTorah, and to become, you know, to develop those kelim and the body first, and then to throw yourself into Pnimis HaTorah. That's the proper approach, b'derech klal.
What age are we talking about?
One second, yeah, he doesn't give a specific age. We'll I could talk about that in a moment. And then, but he does indicate, though, that even while a person's Isaac and Mishnah and Talmud, even at that early stage, you have to give a chelek al kopanim. That's his lashon. That be Isaac b'chachmas ha-mishnah b'talmud levad, was while he's being Isaac, and during that initial stage, ve'ein Isaac chelek b'limud el-saydus ha-tar v'sisra. So again, the question is, there's two inyanim. There's what's your ikar focus, what's your ikar Isaac. So he says the Ikar Esek in the beginning is Mishnah V'Talmud, is Nigla. But even at that stage of when the Ikar Esek is Nigla, a person has to give a Chelek Al Kopanim to Pnimis HaTorah in order to even give some level of Kusta D'Chiyus. Like the Gemara says in Chazal, you know, Chazal we have a description of like this. There's the Neshama, there's the Guf, and obviously when they're both operating in full capacity, that's Gevaldik. But there's also something that's called kusa dechius, a little a vapor of life, something epis. So that's a little bit of a taste of the neshama, just to keep the body that's sort of like the body's chelik, just to allow it to be without just disintegrating. So that would be compared to this idea that even while a person's Isaac and nigla, still they have to give a chelik to pnimus sitar. Otherwise the body is completely dried. Otherwise the body is completely dried. There's a number of things there. First of all, I mean, this model is certainly true. Rav Chaim says that's the model. Are there exceptions to this? There probably are some exceptions to this. I've mentioned this before. This is not. I mean, it's hard to know for sure. But Lamashal, I mentioned it before from the Chida, the Rav from the Gemara. So Rav is none other than Rav Abba, who was a Talmud of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. He was the one that actually wrote the Torah of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon would say, Rav Elazar, his son, would be the Chayzer, he would repeat verbally, and Rav Abba was the one that was that he was writing, he was the Kaisif. So then the next time that was Rav Abba, he must have been pretty young. Later on, we find that he then becomes Rav, the same person, Rav Abba, Rav becomes a Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He's Minyana de Rebbe. He's part of the Bezdin of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, in creating Mishnayos. He was one of the younger ones, one of the smaller ones of Minyana de Rebbe. So I've seen it. I think the Chida points this out, that you see that, interestingly enough, in sort of the development of Rav. Again, you don't know, like, obviously, even when he gets to Rav Shimon, he's Mestamei No Shas and Paiskin Bevenos. But in terms of I don't know, in terms of his position in Klal Yisrael, in sort of the Shalshelis HaMesaira, the first position he had in terms of the chain of the tradition was in Pnimius Satara as a Talmud of Rav Shimon. And the second position he has in terms of the Shalshelis HaMesaira is a Nigla. So again,
This is Rav,
that's why he's a Tanu Apollo, because he was the youngest of, he was part of that Bezdin that created Mishnayos. That's why, you know, the Achorin point out, the Gemara says Rav can disagree with Tanoim. Again, we don't like saying it. If you have to, then we do. So, what's a Rav is greater than other Amoraim? Like, Rav and Shmuel disagree with each other. I mean, you know, Rabbi Yochanan, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan over Rav. It's a Shalom the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say Rabbi Yochanan is also a Tanu Apollo, but some Rishonim don't. I mean, the answer is it's not a matter of greatness. Rav was part of the Bezdin of Rebbe, so he's part of that body, so he can disagree with some minor points here and there as well, but you do see such a thing that maybe there could be chidim. Again, like I said, it's not a perfect example of breaking this rule, because as an individual person, I don't know where, you know, what his personal, you know, upbringing was, that it was Kabbalah first, I don't know, but in terms of the Seder HaMesaira and his place in the Masara, that you see that Rav didn't go with this approach. Part of it, listen, why would this approach be, why is this the right way, Nigla first and then Kabbalah? So there's the practical reason, which is probably how the Rambam really says it in Sadi Atara, which is otherwise a person, there's multiple layers. On the practical side of things, there's multiple layers. First of all, a person can become like super floaty. You need a good bag of sand to hold down that balloon, right? So that's one idea. That was the mashal Rabbi Gamliel told me when I was young, and I was, you know, and he told me that you need a good, like a lot of sand to hold down a balloon. So anyway, so that's one aspect. Another aspect is in order to sharpen the mind. In other words, a person can learn Pnimius HaTorah, and it's also, you know, they themselves can be floaty, and the limud can be floaty. You might not be, you know, so when a person, you know, sort of trains their way of thinking through nigla, and then you use that analytical approach to Kabbalah and so on, now you can get to the, you can understand properly. So in terms of just the person becoming more grounded, that's necessary. In terms of the limud of Kabbalah being more sophisticated and more, you know, fine-tuned. So that's also necessary. But there's also a deeper idea, and you find this. You find this by the kavanas by Aseres Mei Tshuva, by the kavanas of not Aseres Mei Tshuva, but the days in between the days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. There's a concept that Arizal talks about over there in Shaar Kavanos, which is the following thing, is that there's a very strong tendency. What's the goal? The goal is, as we've been saying from the very beginning, the goal is Dir V'tachtoina. The goal is to bring the Elikos that you are introduced to in Pnimius HaTorah and to bring it into Nigla. The problem is that if a person starts with Nister first, the light could be so overwhelming that they're then disinterested in descending into Nigla. Or even if they're not disinterested in descending into Nigla, the kalem of Nigla will disintegrate in the presence of that overwhelming light. So what a person therefore does first is first attach oneself to Nigla. And then when you are then introduced to Pnimius HaTorah and the light of Pnimius HaTorah, those kalem are solid already. They're very strong, so they won't become overwhelmed by the R. And then you could fulfill the tachlis, which is infusing those kalem with R. You find this by what I'm referencing with the Vishar Kavanis is how this fits in a larger system of Rosh Hashanah. That's not for now, but there's an idea over there that everything until Yom Kippur was gvuris. It's very strong gvuris for Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Meitzuv, Yom Kippur. Smoyle tachas laroshi, the Arizal says, is the site of that tkufa. So it's a very strong verse. Comes now the intermediary days, getting into Sukkot. Now you're trying to bring chesed, but the problem is the Arizal says is that when you bring chesed, so it's like imagine like a boiling pot of water. You put a little cold. It's a tipa bottle. You know, kama bottle. It's not. You know, you're gonna. Everything's gonna stay boiling. You're not gonna. You need to cool down. How do you cool it down? So the Rizal says that this, so he says what we do is therefore the madregas of chasadim that we draw down into ourselves post Yom Kippur is, you would think you go like, you know, let's say if the system of chasadim is broken down into five components, chesed, gevura, tiferes, netzach, chayit, right? Let's say, again, just for simplicity's sake. So he says you would start with number one, bring chesed the first day, and then bring Gevur Shebe Chesed the second day, then Tefer Shebe Chesed the next day, Netzach Shebe Chesed, Hoy Shebe Chesed. But he says the problem is that if the Gevurs are so intense, if you bring the highest level of Chesed right away, even with the highest level of Chesed, battling these intense Gevurs, it's going to lose. It's not going to be able to make such a Roshan. And then what's the next day? Even less. So you have to set yourself up for the chesedim to not become overwhelmed by the status quo of gevuras. So what you do is, says the Arizal, is that the first day is hoyt shev chesed, which doesn't make a big roshim, and then you are building up to now chesed netzach shev chesed and tefer shev chesed and gevur shev chesed till finally chesed shev chesed and it could be piled. In other words, I'm using that as just an example that you see in the kavana. Such an idea is that there is such an idea that a certain matzav of R overwhelms what's introduced to it. So you have to sort of know going in, you have to plan that out. You have to sort of see that ahead of time that what you're going to introduce to an overwhelming light might become overwhelmed by it. And so the kalem of Nigla might be overwhelmed by the light of Pnimius HaTorah. So what you do is you have to sort of you have to find some eitzes to reinforce those kalem very strong. So in Shaar Kavanos, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, there's one eitzah how to do that in terms of going backwards. But that's my point is just to give the example that you see over there, sensitivity, that you have to make sure that when you're introducing something new to a system, that the old system doesn't just swallow it up and overwhelm it. So you got to know how to do that. So the same thing over here, Nigla could become overwhelmed by Nister. You find this, there are people that their first real taste of Yiddish of Torah, real Avodas Hashem, is with Pnimius HaTorah. And then you see this, it's unfortunately, that they then have sort of, they don't necessarily have a developed taste or an appreciation for Nigla. Because it's not their, whatever, because Nigla wasn't, they were never really, really introduced in a healthy way to Nigla to begin with. So the first healthy part of Torah they were introduced with was Pnimius HaTorah, and that light is overwhelming. So now you're dealing with a with a boiling pot of Pnimis HaTorah, it's very hard to now, you know, mix that with cool water in a way that the cool water does anything, and it without getting becoming completely nullified in the heat of it. You know what I mean? So that's what Teis Chachmas. So that's why Lechatchila, the best would be to have a strong appreciation and a grounding in Nigla. And then when you introduce the light of Pnimis HaTorah, it doesn't overwhelm that previous, rooting in Nigla, because that's your Girsa Diyankasa. That's your Shersh. That's where you come from initially. If a person didn't have that experience, so how do you protect yourself from Nigla becoming dissolved in the light of Pnimis HaTorah? Well, it has to do with I think the more Bittul HaYesh the person has, the better, because if the person's focus, even in Nistar, is in order to do God's will and in order to be mekusher to the Nakuda of Avodas Hashem, well, that Nakuda of Yiddishkeit is Dir B'Tachtayna. So even when they're learning Nistar, it's going to be oriented towards, okay, and I'm going to use this in order to bring the light down into practicality in learning, you know, Nigla L'Shem Shemayim and working on my Adam B'L'Chaveray. Instead of the whole idea of a person floating away with a balloon is because that's the direction they want to go, right? So the Nistar helps that. But if their mindset is, I want to do what God wants, like we've been talking about, right? Really, to be Isaac and be Makusha to the Shekhinah of, like, I want to help this world because that's really what God's interested in, then there's less of a concern of light of Pnimis HaTorah overwhelming Nigla, because then it's not a conflict. Adarav, Nistar's there to give you the tools that you need to infuse this world with depth and meaning.
And that's Huh? And then it's not even, you're not overwhelming any system.
Yeah, there's no conflict. They're working together. There's no conflict at all. Exactly. So that's part of the balance. But again, then there's another question. Obviously, we're dealing, you know, we don't have time anymore. I guess tomorrow we can talk about this more. But like, okay, so fine. So you have this model. Well, how do you know that your belly is full of basar v'yayin in order to then dive into Nistar? How do you know? So you know. How much does the person have to know?
Some people's belly get full much quicker than others.
Such a thing, right? So if you're little, then
I'd
love to see you guys. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.